141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge weekend across Scottish football. Rangers' title hopes suffer a blow with defeat in Dingwall after Celtic won on Saturday. Wednesday's rearranged game will take place at McDermott Park if Dens is unplayable, but there's a delay to the post-split fixtures and Lewis Ferguson is injured and out of the Euros. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah.
Well, have we now witnessed the turning point in this title fight, Gordon? Rangers, a first ever defeat to Ross County yesterday, and it means wherever they played in D, whenever they played in D, even a win, there'll still be a point behind Celtic with five games to go and probably leading to a win at Celtic Park if they have to win this title.
Scottish football, eh? We think teams are getting top six into the last 20 seconds. We've got games not even getting played at teams' home stadium. We've had a result yesterday that has massive permutations between the top and the bottom of the table. And then quite rightly, as you pointed out, full sorry for Lewis Ferguson, thoughts are with him. It's obviously a horrific injury only a couple of months before a major tournament.
0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need. I think some of you probably saved it in your phone round about 2, 3 o'clock yesterday and put it on speed dial because it was that type of afternoon. Rangers fans, where did it go wrong yesterday? Who's getting the blame? Players? Is it the manager? Is it both? Is it something else? Where did it go wrong yesterday? And what does this do to the title race? A huge weekend. 0141 951 1025. If social media is anything to go by, I think quite a few of you will have one or two things to get off your chest. And as we all know, this is the best place to do it. 0141 951 1025, like I say, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We reflect on all of the weekend's talking points. Celtic fans, you did your job. A very convincing second half performance on Saturday. How do you look back on that? We know the split isn't perfect, as we are now seeing, because there is no post-split fixtures yet, so I wonder what you make of that scenario. But it does bring about excitement. Andy's Motherwell fell short, but they did manage to strike a blow to Hibs right at the end, and they fell short, meaning Dundee are in the top six as well. And of course, it'll all be about the picture at the top, but what does Ross County's win yesterday do for the relegation playoffs as well? Come on down, 0141 951 1025. These two will whet your appetite with your Monday awards. Result of the weekend, is that the easiest place ever to start, Andy Halliday?
Sorry, result of the weekend? Mm-hmm. Oh, very, very easy. It's got to be Ross County. They're very unfortunate not to get a mention in all four of my categories this week, because they could have been performance as a team for the weekend, but certainly result. I don't think anyone, even the most optimistic Ross County fan, would think that Ross County would go and get the win against Rangers yesterday, specifically because they've never done it before. So listen, all credit goes to Don Cowie and his players.
I think we'll have to go for Dundee. Their pitch might be rubbish, but the team is worthy of a place in the top six after 33 games. Tony Docherty, the first season as a manager out in his own, striking out after working with Derek McInnes for so many years. What a job he's done. This is a newly promoted team. First season back in the top flight. And that point at Pittodrie on Saturday, enough to get them in the top six.
Goal of the weekend. I think you had good options.
It's the only slimmer.
I know what you better have.
It's the only slimmer of positivity I can take.
Go for
I'll
it.
I'll go with Shane Blaney.
Correct. Well done.
Fantastic finish. He's actually got a decent catalogue of goals, Shane Blaney, over his career. Not scored many, but you know, they usually seem to be pretty good ones. And it's just dropped him on the swivel, left foot. Mm-hmm. Fantastic finish.
Yeah, like one against Motherwell in Europe.
Yeah, that was
probably,
and
made
that
them
was probably
sign him.
It was one of them. I'm up the back of that main stand at Fir Park on Saturday. I don't have the specs on. I just see that shot flashing into the
left
top
footed,
corner.
Did you
left
think?
Footed. I thought, you know what? That's Shane Blaney.
What was your option?
Well, I'm going to go Stephen Kelly's first goal for Livy against Hearts. I actually saw Lyle Cameron doing something similar for Dundee at St Johnstone a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you hardly ever see them. That's a really good finish. And then Craig Gordon comes out, doesn't get enough in his clearance. First time, Stephen Kelly, on his birthday, first of two goals. Well done.
So is that not a Craig Gordon howler rather than a Stephen Kelly goal?
I could have gone either,
weekend?
But I'll give it to Stephen Kelly. Okay. Positivity, not negativity.
There were some
Gordon.
Good goals around. Rio Hatate's was good.
Yeah.
You can't really have a positive howler, can you?
No, that's what I'm saying. Stephen Kelly's positivity rather than Craig Gordon's negativity.
Okay. If you say so. Let's get on to the negativity. Howler of the weekend, Andy Halliday.
Well, it was the game at Tynecastle. There certainly was a few, but Tete Yenge, listen, I think Libby are in a not a great position, obviously, in the league table, but certainly not helped when you're getting sent off as you're getting taken off the pitch. So get sub for Bruce Anderson on his way to the bench, kicks sent a water off. Bottle, second yellow.
How can you get sent off when the game isn't even getting played anymore? What sort of idiot would do that?
And even though he's a big boy, he must have been scared of David Martindale after doing that, because
he's blanking you here.
Do you not do that after an Old Firm game once?
That was after the game.
Oh, is that okay? Is it right?
All
right.
Did.
I didn't realise that was different. And howler of the weekend for you, Roger?
I think it has to be Rangers' performance at Dingwall yesterday. They weren't great at 1-0 up, but to suddenly fall 3-1 down and not be able to rescue it, it's now 4 points out of 12 for Rangers in the league, 2 wins out of 7 in all competitions. They have hit the slide at the wrong time of the season.
Okay, and finally, top man, top performer of the weekend, who's it going to?
A double up for Ross County for me. I'm going Jack Baldwin, especially after his start to the game, scoring an unfortunate own goal. Not much you can do about it, but his performance after that was basically perfect. Like, at a Ross County amount of blocks and tackles and headers he cleared out the box, and he stood up as a captain and got Ross County a massive 3 points.
It's not often a right back gets the award, but I'm going to go Alistair Johnson. I thought he was excellent for Celtic. Set up 2 goals, teed up his pal Hitati for the first, and the cross for Kyogo's second goal was terrific. He is back to his best.
Okay, let's do it. 0141 951 1025. Get set between now and 8 o'clock. We want all of your thoughts on the weekend's big talking points, and I would imagine, just call it a gut feeling, that Dingwall yesterday will feature heavily. Let's go to John, who's a Rangers fan. John, if I was to ask you for one word to sum it up, but you weren't allowed to swear, what would you go for?
It was absolutely shocking. Dreadful. You kind of got to Dingwall and you beat, no disrespect with Ross County, but you just kind of got there and lose when you're going for a title. It's just completely unacceptable, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, all points are equal and all that stuff. And what is definitely going to get lost between now and 8 o'clock is the credit to Ross County, because they were excellent and they deserve it. So let's make sure that gets mentioned right now. However, you see where John's coming from. Over the course of a season, you may go to Tynecastle and draw, and you may go to Rugby Park and get a disappointing result. When you get to this stage in a title race, you're not expecting to go to a team as far down the league as Ross County are and lose, never mind in the manner of it, Roger.
Well, let's get Ross County out of the way first. Don Cowie has taken his squad to Spain today, a pre-planned break to get themselves ready for the post-split fixtures.
Lovely.
As I say, pre-planned long before they knew they were beating Rangers. So they don't want our praise, they want San Miguel. It's as simple as that.
That was some flight by after yesterday.
There you are. You know, John, it took me back to 2011 yesterday. Do you remember Celtic losing 3-2 at Inverness after the split in 2011? Totally out of the blue. They weren't expected to lose up there. They were expected to go up to the Highlands and win with a bit to spare. And they lost the game and they were 3-1 down. They got one back near the end. There was a mad scramble to go 3-3 and they couldn't do it. And Rangers never looked back and won the league. I think this is the mirror image of that coming now. Nobody saw Rangers going there and losing. They blew it in the second half. And I think what's left of them this season, I think, is an awful, awful long way back.
Rubbish, dreadful, abysmal, etc., said John. Andy, how would you sum it up?
Can't disagree. Absolutely not. Like I said at the top of the show, Ross County have never beaten Rangers, so I don't think anyone fancied Ross County even get a draw going up to the game yesterday. But you're quite right in pointing out, Gordon, they absolutely deserved it. It wasn't just a result, it was a performance. I never thought there was any spell within the game that Rangers were better than Ross County. Philippe Clement said after his game he was more happy with Rangers' last 30-minute performance. I've never seen it, to be honest with you. I think that just came because Ross County go 3-1 up and then they're then trying to protect the lead they've got. But I thought from the first whistle, I thought Rangers were lethargic. They could have went 1-0 down within a minute. I thought they were very lucky to go in at half-time 1-0 up. But you then thought, right, they've got away with one in the first half. Philippe Clement will have a chat with them. They'll obviously work on what didn't go right and they'll get a reaction. The reaction was they were even worse in the second half, specifically for the first 20 minutes. And Ross County punished them time and time again and could have scored more than the 3 goals they scored.
John, what's it down to? Is that an ability thing? Is it a bottle thing? Where did it come from?
To be honest, I said that to the producer. I checked the stats, came back for the 2nd of March, including the Europa games. We've lost 12 goals. I mean, we lost at home to Motherwell. That was two. Then there was three against Celtic. Then another three. You can't win league titles when you can't beat teams at Motherwell. No disrespect to Motherwell and Andy's team, but you've got to win these games. They're the games that you should take care of yourself. The back, we're vulnerable at the back, very vulnerable at the back. I'm not a big lover of Suter and Golston together. Personally, I'm quite a big lover of Balogun. Doesn't seem to be getting a chance, the big fella. Good feet, quick. I'm no a lover of Golston and Suter together, personally, but we're very vulnerable. We have been vulnerable at the back for many months, actually, to be honest with you. Probably get out of jail umpteen times with Jack Butland, with world-class saves week in, week out. So, again, very vulnerable at the back, and it's really poor, really poor.
It's difficult to argue with. Goldson, for me, has not been the same player since he came back from that bad injury he sustained in the Champions League last season. He doesn't look the player that he looked before. I know what you mean, John, the pairing with Suter. I'm not sure about Suter on the left-hand side of the defence. Andy will know better. He used to play with my heart. Barisic, I thought, was poor yesterday. He hasn't seen a huge amount under Philippe Clement. And I think you're seeing probably the last weeks of his Rangers career. But, you know, what does Philippe Clement do now for Dundee on Wednesday night? Is it going to be Balogun in the team with either Goldson or Suter? Is it going to be Dujon Sterling at left back? Well, actually, thought did well at left back against Celtic last week. I thought he was perhaps unlucky not to start the game at Dingwall yesterday, and was certainly an improvement on Barisic, I thought, when he came on. But I know what you mean. It was, you know, you could almost go from the defence through the midfield into the Rangers attack and pick fault in any of them. But as you say, you're not going to win much if you lose three goals every Sunday.
You think that cost Rangers their title chances, John?
Hand in my heart, I wouldn't want to say it has. It's a massive dent. Celtic must be getting some lift, because it all comes down to now. If Celtic won all their games and Rangers kind of won all their games, we lose the title by 1 point, which is down to the game at Ross County. That's what it'll come down to if that's what happens. I know we've got to go to Parkhead, but it's a big ask to go to Parkhead in front of all their fans, with no fans of our own, the way it's going, and trying to get a result, because Celtic's tails will be definitely up. It's back in their hands. And as I said, you can't beat teams like Motherwell at Ibrox.
Right, once was enough, John. And now there is offence being taken. I'll let you away with the first one. And the arithmetic is not drastic, but the sort of feeling, and maybe it's based on predictions that not many other teams will take points. Mm-hmm. Do you understand the suggestion that that's a sort of title losing defeat yesterday, or is it still too early?
For me, it is still too early. Listen, it's not changing the fact that if Rangers win all their remaining games, they win the league. But for me, it would take a very, very bold man, probably Hugh Keevans in that respect, to predict Rangers to win at Celtic Park based on the Rangers record at Celtic Park and the 3-0 for them games we've witnessed this season. I agree with John and what he said in terms of Rangers defensively, because for me, since Philippe Clement's came in the door, that is where they've really excelled. They've looked really, really stout defensively, not conceded a lot of goals or chances. Jack Butland's had the most clean sheets in the league. They've conceded the least goals in the league, but not so much just individually defensive, as a team, collectively out of possession. I'm not too sure what's happened with Rangers over the last 3-4 games, because, you know, like I said, Ross County scored 3 goals. It could have been 5-6 easily. Harmon alone could have had a hat-trick. And I mean, he was very unlucky not to pick up my performer of the weekend, Old Rogers, I'd imagine, because Jan Danda, I thought, was excellent as well. I thought the amount of pockets of space he picked up in transition, and Ross County would win possession back, play one pass to Danda, and they would just be running it back four. A carbon copy of what I said last week, the way the first half of the Old Firm went, in terms of the spaces that Celtic managed to pick up that day. So if Rangers have any chance, they certainly need to improve performances and defensively the way they've been over the last 5 games.
And thanks to John. What about Joe in Cambus Lang? Same start for you, Joe. If you could sum that up in a word yesterday, and you're not allowed to swear, what are you going for?
Shocking, absolutely shocking. But let's be clear here, Ross County deserve everything that they got yesterday. I thought Ross County were outstanding, and I thought we were absolutely appalling. I think we try to. I think there's so much focus being on this Dundee game that we just expected to turn up at Ross County yesterday, get the 3 points, and then stroll on to Dundee. I said weeks ago, I didn't think we had the minerals. You see a better phrase for the title running. I think Celtic have been there, done it before. I go to Ibrox week in, week out. I mean, I've phoned many, many times. But Connor Golson, John Suter, Borna Barisic, James Tavernier, we're not going to win anything with a defence like that. Tavernier may be top of the charts for goal scoring, assists, and no taking away from what he's done for Rangers. As far as I'm concerned, he would have been a Rangers legend. But you won't find his name in any statistics or any charts for his defending. His defending is appalling. Ross County ran riot yesterday, and fair play to them. Fair play to Ross County. I mean, we were pounded. And as the previous caller said, I mean, they could have scored 3 or 4. I heard Andy Halliday saying the lad that scored the goal was at Barron.
Harman.
He could have had 3 or 4 goals. Mm-hmm. And if he had scored 3 or 4 goals, then totally deserved. How Philip Clement, as a defender himself in his playing career, can look at that and think that's an acceptable defence? Okay, he's got to use what he's got because of where he came in. We let Michael Beale spend money that he should never have been allowed to spend. And basically, we're now trying to obviously recoup the costs if we can. Ridvan Yilmaz, for me, he'll be away in the summer as well. Barisic will be away. Goldson should be away. We need a new defence. Jack Butland, as I heard the other caller saying, world-class saves, has pulled us out, the Brown stuff, many, many times with world-class saves. And it's just not a Rangers team that I've got any confidence in. Philip Clement has done amazing to get us where we are, to even have any point of challenging. He's done amazing. But I think it's a step too far for Rangers. And it pains me to say that, but I'm a realist. It's a step too far.
I don't think you can argue with that. I think Rangers were put, you know, there's going to be focus on Goldson and Suter because of the concession of the 3 goals yesterday. But, you know, Cyril Dessers had chances in the first half to put that game away. Poor as Rangers were in the first half, they could have been 2 or 3 nil up at half time. And at that, Ross County don't come back. It's as simple as that. So while the focus will fall on Goldson and Suter, I think right the way through the team, look at the amount of runners that weren't tracked. Andy will maybe discuss that. Did Rangers miss Diamandé? Because certainly Todd Cantwell and Kieran Dowell weren't doing the tracking back. They weren't looking at the runners. We speak about Butland. Now, great saves as Butland has made. He pushed 2 back out yesterday, straight to Ross County players. Now, could Butland do better? You'd maybe need a goalkeeping expert in here to say that. Or could the Rangers defence and the midfield coming back got back to clear those loose balls before Simon Murray and George Harmon knocked them in? Because Murray and Harmon had all the time in the world to score. And then Sims isn't tracked for the 3rd goal. So it's a bad team effort by Rangers in all areas yesterday.
Joe, one of the go-tos, any time any team suffers a bad result, we get to desire, you know, weren't trying hard enough and didn't look like they wanted it. And it's a really difficult one because so tough to prove, and sometimes you don't know if players are just not playing well, and then it looks like they're not putting in the required effort. But it does feel like a lot of fans felt like there was a bit of a desire issue yesterday. Is that fair?
Absolutely, absolutely. Ross, I mean, let's be fair here, Gordon. Ross County ran riot. I mean, for you to say a better phrase, Ross County ran riot, and they thrashed us. I mean, let's be honest, they thrashed us, and the result they got absolutely deserved it. I could not believe what I was watching. I could not believe what I was watching. I mean, Ross County thoroughly deserved what they got. I understand what Roger's saying. Dessers has missed a lot of chances. That's been the story of Dessers' season. It's been the story of Dessers' season. But again, he's done well, in my opinion, Dessers. It's been the story of his season. He'll score 2 and miss 6 or 7. I mean, he should be scoring 4 or 5 goals. I mean, the game against Hearts, he should have scored 5 or 6 himself. I just think, I work offshore, and I was home last time when we beat Hearts, and I heard Hugh Keevans saying the title was Rangers, and I was driving back for the game with my son, and Hugh Keevans was giving it the titles Rangers and blah, blah, blah. And I said to my son driving home, I said, no chance. No chance, because I just didn't think that we had it in us to finish it off. I just don't think we've got it in it. I don't think we've got the mentality in the squad. But I do think Philip Clement will sort it. I think if he's given the money in the summer, we get a clear out, which is required. Let's be honest, a massive clear out is required at Ibrox. I mean, we're talking about James Tavernier. Again, He deserves all the plaudits he gets for his goals, his attacking and all the rest of it. He deserves all the plaudits he gets, but he gets no plaudits for his defending. I heard the other day they were talking about Rio, was it Dyson Maeda, saying how if he was a better player, he would be in the Premiership. Same with James Tavernier. I read the other day a thing on a West Brom forum, should we have signed James Tavernier? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you're wanting a defender, no way.
And the end to the game last week, the fact that Celtic were so far in front at the start and Rangers came back and there was a lot made, you know, Rangers were celebrating and that was supposed to be a sign of, you know, the character that was there, and then to get lack of that thrown at you the very next week, that's quite a turnaround.
Yeah, and I think as players, you know, the worst thing that you can get labelled at you is the other team wanted it more. You know, the feeling is almost as if you never tried as hard as you possibly could in that game. So it would be very difficult for me to sit here and say that that's what I believed happened. But it'd be very difficult for me also to argue against the point, because having watched the game, I do agree with the fact that from the very first whistle, Rangers looked miles off it and could just never get back into any sort of stride. No, I referenced what I said 5 minutes ago. I don't think Rangers were in control at any period of the game. Yeah, they scored 2 goals. One's an own goal and one's a penalty that came out of absolutely nowhere. But also Roger's right where they're sort of listening to that. You can be reactive in terms of game to game, but Dessers has been yesterday what Dessers has been for most of the season. He, you know, parts of his game's been really good. He's scored some decent goals, but he's never ever really looked that convincing in front of goals for someone who's scored, I think, 17 goals in all competitions. And that chance before half time, if he scores that, they probably do go on and win the game, but never looked convincing in his touch, never looked really that convincing in his finish either.
Thank you to Joe. I can see the phone lines are lighting up. There is a lot to be said about yesterday, quite clearly, so keep them coming and we'll try and speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here as soon as the goals started going in Dingwall yesterday. Had a funny feeling tonight would be lively, and it is proving to be the case. Let's stick with the phones in just a second, but we should probably hear from Philippe Clement. He says his team threw away the points in Dingwall, and he says they didn't heed a half-time warning about how the game was going.
We threw away the points today. That we didn't start well enough first half. On the ball, in the duels, we get our chances also. We were not lethal enough also in the opportunities that we got in the first half. Although a few clear ones. That you come then in a good way into halftime with 0-1 leading. I warned them that it was not good enough the first half, and I wanted to see more second half and keeping the clean sheet, but then you concede 2 goals in 5 minutes or something. And then you start chasing the game. So that makes it more difficult. You give energy to the opponent. They get a lot of energy. They put their bodies all over the pitch in front of the ball to make the decisive tackle or duel or whatever. And I think the last half hour we played much better, and I wanted to see that urgency 90 minutes long and not 30 minutes long.
Let's go back to the phones and bring in Tricia. Tricia, does any of this come back on the manager, or is it all about the players taking the blame?
I think it's all about the players, really, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that give out the wages. I know Clement puts them out, but I think it's about time they need to give goals and arrest. Take Tavernier off. Dessers, nah, he's just no. No, he's not my favourite player. He misses chance after chance after chance. I know Michael Beale brought him in, but at the end of the day, get shot him. Nah. I would take Tavernier off and put Sterling in and give the captaincy to the goalkeeper, because Butler, he stood it. And good, well done to Ross County. They actually put us off the park, and it was shocking actually watching it. Absolutely shocking.
Yeah, two separate camps. I think Dessers is going to get a lot of criticism. I'm not saying it's wrong. Is that the one that maybe reflects more on recruitment and not getting someone else in January to help? We've said it before, his total is fine, it's okay. How many chances does he need to get that total? Because, you know, Tricia wants him out of the team, but realistically, what else is there? Is that the one position, the one player that, whilst he is deserving of criticism, it maybe feeds into a bigger picture?
Well, what are your alternatives?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Is Kamar Roof ready to start a game of football?
If he is, he won't play many, history tells you.
Is Fabio Silva ready to lead the line? I don't really think so. We're having this conversation tonight, Monday night. Next Monday night, if Lauren Shanklin scored the goal that's won a Scottish Cup semi-final for Hearts, this will be the only conversation we have between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Lauren Shanklin, many, many people thought was coming to Rangers in January. And if Rangers don't win the league, then I think there'll be a lot of Rangers fans wondering, well, I wonder what if they pushed the boat out and got Shanklin in January.
You see what I mean, Andy? Sometimes, yeah, maybe Sterling should play instead of someone else. But the Dessers one feels different because we spent the full window getting calls from Rangers fans saying we definitely need another striker.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think any Rangers fan will probably still agree with that. Going into the January transfer window, you knew that Philippe Clement was going to maybe bring in 2-3 players. You felt as if that real priority position was that out-and-out striker. They feel as if they brought that in with Fabio Silva, but I think anyone that's watched him, he's never seemed like an out-and-out striker. He's always someone that wants to be, you know, arriving in the box or driving at a back four rather than somebody that wants to play where he's back to goal. But Dessers is going to play at the weekend, and then he'll play the next week and the week after that, because, to be honest, he's the best striker that Rangers have got just now for me.
Better than Roof?
For me, yeah. Where's the evidence that Kamal Roof is as good as people make out he is when he's injured? Listen, he's done okay for Rangers. He's done well at times, but he's never... What's the most consecutive games that Kamal Roof's played? I don't imagine it's that many, whereas I know Dessers in these...
We've spoken a few times. Barisic will probably go in the summer when his contract's up. Kamal Roof going in the summer when his contract's up?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about it. We know there's talent there, but he's obviously not been very fit, and you feel as if he's... I'm speculating here, but you imagine he's on quite a big wage, especially when the sum that Rangers paid to bring him to the football club. But nah, for me, I think Dessers is Rangers' best striker at the moment. I think he's going to continue to play.
Trisha, is that one that... Oh, Trisha's dropped off. Now we've got her back. Trisha, did that cost Rangers the title yesterday, or is there still life left in this? Can they win it from here?
50-50, any game. But for Andy to say Dessers is the best striker... Is he wearing green gloves tonight? Because he absolutely means.
Who is the best then?
Well, it certainly isn't him. Roof was good, aye. I'd give Roof it again. Because even though he got injured, but he done more. He didn't miss that as the like he does. Nah, my grandson can play better fit than him.
Well, there we go. It's a tough school. Thanks very much to Tricia out there in Rutherglen. What about Robert in Ayr? How you sum up how yesterday made you feel, Robert? A bad one, a sore one to take.
We'll put it this way, it was my son's birthday. I wasn't very happy about it.
Oh, they've ruined your son's birthday. You just sat in the corner and sulked, didn't you?
Well, I felt like I was the one that was crying inside.
I don't think Andy Halliday had a great Sunday either, for what it's worth. Where did it go wrong?
It's when it started is the question, that because it's a lot longer ago. The problems that Rangers started, I think it's been back 10 years basically, since I'm trying to work out which manager it was under, and then with the fans have known all the way through where the problems are, but when are they going to actually start listening to the fans is beyond me.
But have you always said this, Robert? Because a couple of weeks ago Rangers fans were very, very bullish on here and felt, you know, the title was in their hands and Philippe Clement was the man and all this stuff. So what's changed?
I'm amazed how many of the Rangers fans fell into that trap, because that certainly wasn't me. There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and we fell into that trap a million times before. But as soon as you hear Hugh Keevan saying it, and it starts to become where they believe it themselves, well, I don't know. But as soon as Hugh Keevan spoke up and backed Rangers were going to win, like, and all this stuff, I knew it'll fall apart.
I like this notion that it is actually kind of his fault.
It is.
Roger, I know what Robert's saying, like, now after yesterday, and I'm not saying it's only with hindsight, people can say, you know, these problems have been here for years and so on. But Rangers had got themselves into a position. I don't think going to Dingwall and winning is that big an ask, even if you have, you know, your own slight flaws versus where you want to be.
Yeah.
That's what's making the reaction so severe to yesterday.
One of the things that struck me as well, Andy said it was a poor start to the game. Rangers lost a goal in 21 seconds last week. Dyes and Maida, you may have heard. They could have lost one in 45 seconds yesterday if George Harmon had, you know, found his range. I just don't know how that's possible. You would think the one thing Rangers would be on guard about yesterday, having lost a goal to Celtic in 21 seconds, was to start brightly, to start in the front foot, and not have the kind of start they had the previous week. And they almost had the start they had the previous week. Now, having escaped that and somehow led 1-0 at half-time, you would have thought the penny would have dropped and they would have started brightly in the second half. The second half is hardly underway and they were 2-1 down. It's incredible that professional players can do that. I was going to ask Andy if he's ever been involved in a team.
Oh, millions. I don't even know what the question is.
How can that be? How can it be that it's happened once, it's happened twice, and then it's happened a third time, and they're powerless to prevent it? And in fact, it's getting worse as they go.
It's funny you say that, because like with the kind of wee team hat on, right? I've, you know, you feel like I've lived a lot of these fixtures. When you're Ross County, they did start well, they create the chance. See, as soon as Rangers score, you kind of think, oh, well, that's it. And it's remarkable how that was so not the case yesterday.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm just comparing the two teams for a minute, because what you're saying, I feel as if that's the way I kind of perceive Celtic at the moment, because I feel as if Celtic have shown throughout the season that Celtic are very good for 45 minutes in most games and probably not quite the same for 90 minutes. Whereas Rangers, I can't really remember from the top of my head where Rangers can just flick a switch in a game and be very good. So even, you know, when Ross County go 2-1 down, I don't think Rangers really got the reaction that they were looking for. Then when Ross County went 3-1 up again, I don't think Rangers really got that reaction. And again, I think Philippe Clement's done very, very well, and I'm not criticising him for a minute, but I completely disagree with what he says in terms of he thought Rangers were better for the last 30 minutes. I don't. I just think Ross County sort of tried to sit in, protect what they had, and Rangers just couldn't flick that switch to get the
impetus. It was summed up in 1 minute near the end. Todd Cantwell was, I'm not sure whether he was in his fourth, fifth or sixth touch, about 25 yards out, and Victor Latoury slid in.
Mm-hmm. That was a good tackle, I remember that, yeah.
Terrific slide tackle. It was like a kid sliding a dance floor at a wedding. He just came from out the picture and just took the ball completely away from Todd Cantwell.
Didn't have his tie tied round his head though, did he?
I'm not sure about that.
It's a bit
that.
Different.
It summed up the whole game. Victor Latoury wanted to win the ball and win the game. Todd Cantwell wanted another wee tippy-tappy touch in the edge of the box and didn't really know what he was going to do with it.
Can I add another one to that? How Abdel Rasim, I thought that he could get away with a handball in the box now that VAR, you can punch it in the back post. I mean, just let the Ross County defend it and then try and react to the situation. It was mental.
So, Robert, not you don't go as far as to say yesterday cost the league because you don't think Rangers were going to win it anyway. Is that what you were saying?
I mean, after the week before, it's difficult to actually contemplate what's going on with this league now or when it's going to come. But what cost us the title was the week before. And the mistake we made was we celebrated a draw at Ibrox. Why were we celebrating a draw at Ibrox? I don't know what's going on with them. If they start celebrating a draw at Ibrox, then that's what happens the following weekend. Honestly, I think that was a disgrace. They celebrated the Ibrox a draw.
What do you think about that? Was it just match appropriate because of the 2-0 down and come back? Or is that the type of thing that you almost have to be aware can come back and bite you? Which do you subscribe to?
Yeah. In hindsight, I'm not sure I would do it again. It was really interesting to watch the Sky coverage. Neil Lennon was saying, you know, when he was a player, they wouldn't have celebrated a draw. They'd have gone up the tunnel quickly so they could have a fight about it in the dressing room, which I think is probably a more appropriate response. I'm not sure it set the absolute correct tone. It's not as if it was a draw at Ibrox that won Rangers anything. If you're going to celebrate like that, you need to make sure you go and win at Dingwall the next week.
Thanks a lot to Robert. This might, if you're a Rangers fan and you're suffering after yesterday, this might cheer you up.
Clyde One.
£1 million make me a winner.
Win your share of £1 million.
Make me a winner.
Well, we started the week with a rollover on Make Me a Winner, but it means that you could be the winner of £80,000 tomorrow when we make another call. But you do need to be in the draw, obviously. So text yes to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the entries since Emily won on Friday have rolled over. So All the rules for this network competition can be found online, but the important bit, if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £80,000. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here on the usual number. You can tweet your thoughts as well. It was quite the day in Dingwall, and that has been reflected on very busy phone lines. Although I have to say, the phone lines have been red hot for weeks now. Joyful is on Twitter. Back four are a bomb scare. Don't care what folks say. We'll never win silverware with Goldson and Tav. Not very joyful from someone called Joyful on Twitter, but there we are. Let's hear from Philippe Clement on the title race. He's not focusing on how much that result impacts things. He says it doesn't change the situation for him.
No, it's not about that. We need to continue what we've been doing. It can make still a lot of shifts. We need to focus on ourselves and to go every time hard to get the 3 points, and it starts on Wednesday. I want to see a different performance on Wednesday than what I saw today.
Do you suspect you'll need to win the remaining six league games?
I'm not a mathematician, so I don't know. We're going to go every game to win the game. It's all about that, and then we can see the last two games, what the ranking is. The same story than it was 3 days ago or 1 week ago. That stays the same. We need to be focused on us, and maybe that's part of today, but it's not an excuse. It's been all week about anything than about football in our club and around our club. Maybe that influenced also things, but it's not an excuse. We need to win games in whatever situation.
See that bit about it's the same as it was 3 days ago or the same it was a week ago? Is that, I assume that's a reference to if Rangers win all their games, they win the title, yeah?
Yeah. But it's not the same because they just lost to Ross County.
Yeah, because they didn't actually have to do that before. You know, they could have got away with if both teams won them all. A draw at Celtic Park, Rangers would have been champions. So, to be fair, like, he's been consistent even when things were going Rangers' way. He was never really drawn on talk of title race or points gaps or whatever. But clearly, the Rangers fans all feel things have been made a lot more difficult from yesterday. Are you a mathematician? What would your forecast look like now? How damaging was yesterday?
No, and I was once told by Tom Hendry, the former St Mirren manager, who got annoyed when people said that it's not mathematics,
it's arithmetic. Yep. I was just quoting Philippe Clement.
He used to tell us it's different. It's different from what it was when Motherwell won at Ibrox. It's different than it was when Rangers didn't win the Old Firm game at Ibrox, when there's one still to be played at Celtic Park. And it's different than it was before they lost at Dingwall yesterday. Rangers have taken 4 points from 12 in the league. That's not the form of title winners, I'm afraid, Gordon. So, in one sense, he's correct. If Rangers win the last six games, they'll win the championship. But on current form, they don't look likely to win the next six games.
Al is in Alberta, Canada. Did that damage Rangers' title chances by a severe amount yesterday, Al? Can it still be done? What are your feelings?
Hi, Gordon, Andy and Roger. How are you all doing?
Good. How
are you? I just wanted to give a call in to say, I think the past two games obviously not been great, and as Rangers fans we're all hurting, but I think we can still go ahead and win this league. I don't see why we can't. And if we win this game against Dundee, we go 1 point behind. Now, you can just reference in 2002-2003, when we went into the split, Rangers were 5 points ahead. It was Celtic that came to Ibrox and beat us. And then we drew against Dundee, so that's how we ended up winning against Dunfermline when we beat them 6-1, just on the goal difference. So we were 5 points ahead at the split, and they came back to level points. Now, in 2004-2005, at the split, Celtic were 2 points ahead this time, and then they came to Ibrox again and beat us and went 5 points ahead. But then they lost to Hibs at home and Motherwell away when Scott McDonald scored. So, and then we won the league that time too. So I don't see why something like that can't happen again. Celtic still have to go to Kilmarnock away and St Mirren away. It's going to be hard games.
Do you think the reaction then has been a bit over the top? We've had a lot of sort of, what's the word? A lot of Rangers fans on who feel that yesterday was a critical blow. You think that's all a bit over the top?
I wouldn't say say it's over the top. I can understand why we're reacting like that, because we've been through, you know, we've been through terrible times over the last few years, and we've seen these players get rid of the managers, like Gio, who's one of my favourite Rangers players. Beal, I wasn't a big fan of Beal. And Gerrard, if Gerrard stayed, he would have got fired. These players would have got him out the door. So I think it's not an overreaction in that sense, but the players just have to wake up, stop sleepwalking into games, be more aggressive, and just, you know, and just go and don't think we're just going to sit here and we're going to win these games because we're better players. They know they're better players, but you have to prove it on the pitch.
Andy?
Yeah, listen, Rangers, of course Rangers can still win the league, but we're asked, you know, to analyse the game at the weekend, and we're asked, do we think they will win the league? I think Celtic are. I thought Celtic were slight favourites to win the league going into the weekend. I think they're bigger favourites to win the league now, because, as I said earlier, I think it would take a brave man to predict Rangers going to win at Celtic Park. Previously, obviously, they could have got a draw, something I could see happening. But now you just feel as if they have to win that game at Celtic Park. It's going to be a massive game. You feel as if it's going to have a huge factor of where the title ends up. But I definitely agree in the sense that Celtic have to go to Rugby Park, potentially. You'd imagine that's where they're going to go in Kilmarnock, a place they've already lost twice this season. Rangers have found it difficult there as well, losing in there on the opening day of the season, so it could be a factor. But I do feel as if that game at Celtic Park, for me, is going to have the biggest bearing on where the title's going to go, and I think Celtic are the favourites in it.
Yeah, listen, if you're Rangers, you can't rely on Celtic dropping points. If you're Rangers, to win the league, you have to take care of business. If that means winning six games, then they'll need to go and win six games, but they will need to be absolutely transformed from the team that's played the last three or four league games. Transformed, Gordon.
Thank you very much to Al. Let's come a bit closer to home. Kinning Park is where Craig is. Craig, I don't know if you'd have heard when you were hanging on, Al was a bit more optimistic, thinks that, you know, there's a bit of an overreaction and Rangers very much still in this. Are you on that track? Are you a bit angrier about yesterday?
Nah, I'm absolutely fuming. Two angry bears in the car. I'm absolutely beside myself. I think we had a second chance that we probably, if we're honest, and last season we probably wouldn't have got. Celtic had their problems. We were shopping order, we thought. My biggest issue here is our last game against Celtic. We've got Gareth Southgate up to watch our goalkeeper, who's apparently and about the England squad. And I'm hearing murmurs and ramblings and utterings that he wants to move down south because his family can't settle. On the last two performances, he'll be lucky to get him moved down south. I think he's sold a shot. I think yesterday. I've got a massive bee in my bonnet, but I think he's at fault for at least one of the goals yesterday, and for being an experienced campaigner. I'm beside myself as to who he thinks he is. If he thinks he's bigger than the club, I mean, I would just playing John McLaughlin if that's the case.
We'll have to say thing. That noise wasn't meant to be disrespectful to John McLaughlin.
I thought Craig was doing really well there until about the last 15 seconds.
Things must be getting severe if Jack Butland is getting stick, because he's been the one that's had the most praise.
If you remember, that finished Giovanni Van Bronckhorst thinking John McLaughlin was better than Alan McGregor. There is no way John McLaughlin is better than Jack Butland. I agree with you, Craig. I didn't think Jack Butland did particularly well yesterday. I'd love to get a goalkeeping expert on, because for me, he pushed two straight back out to Ross County players when goalies, and he's a top-class goalies get those balls away out of there to safety, and he didn't do that.
Did they fall into that category? I know what you're saying generally.
I think the Sims one, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think Jack Butland will feel disappointed in the distance he got in the save that Sims ends up tapping in. But listen, we're certainly getting carried away for me. I think Jack Butland has probably been Rangers player of the year this year. I think there's maybe a couple that will run him close, but I think for the most part he's certainly been the most consistent. I think he's won them points. I think he'll be disappointed in a couple of goals that have happened over the last couple of fixtures, but Jack Butland's at least a Rangers worries, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the link between when Gareth Southgate came up to a perceived dip in form, very hard to prove, but I have seen a few people wondering if that's the case. Craig, can Rangers still win the league from here?
I don't think so. I've cards on the table. Two is here. Nah. Towel's chucked in.
There we go. Craig and his fellow what was it, Angry Bear, he said. And who's the, what was the other Angry Bear's name?
Barry Bunton.
Jeez. Right, I think we'll move on. Thank you very much to Craig on the line. Let's play this though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's a tough ask on a Monday. Halliday and Hannah pretty good at this, but let's see if we can cause an upset. Do a Ross County, if you like. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. 01419511025. It has been wall-to-wall reaction to Dingwall yesterday. There were other big stories doing the rounds. If you want to share your opinions on them, we are here for you. I appreciate what days like yesterday can mean. Actually, I've got a, I think Andy's, I don't know, I think he's given us his professional act on yesterday. I feel like there's a layer that if we, I think if we scratch away Roger Hanna, I think he could,
you know, sir,
I think he could get
never
angry.
Get unprofessionalism off me.
If he goes and beat the Pundit and he goes all wrong, that he could just crash.
I've had a bad weekend, there's no doubt. There's no doubt about it.
I just
it, top six at slither.
I feel we need the viewers and listeners to know, Gordon. I touched on this in the show on Saturday. I gave the man the big build up, our own David Friel. Manchester Marathon yesterday. What did I say on Saturday? What was his go to time?
4 hours.
No, it was 4 hours 20. Oh, was it? He wanted right. to do. Okay. 4 hours 20, which I thought was acceptable. What did he do?
4 hours 30.
4 hours 20.
Oh, for goodness sake. Just sprint a wee bit at the end or something.
You would have thought, wouldn't you?
Honestly.
You know?
No, but and it's a credit to you, because people always say that you're very professional. Is there another layer of your feeling on yesterday?
Do you think I'm like this when I'm watching football in the house? No chance. Not everybody else.
Roger, I think we need to get it out of him by the end of the night.
It won't happen, trust me.
He'll go.
By the way, did you give Gordon DL that brilliant stat that Roger gave us at the end of the last second of the show last week? You could have gave it maybe 5 minutes before so we could mull it.
Oh, the three threes, the old firm three threes.
No, I didn't actually. I'll get back to him on that. We've got a big game of our own to play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I think that's the task here. If we can get Andy Halliday a defeat on Beat the Pundit, I think he's going to be calling these Rangers players all sorts before the end of the night. That's my prediction. But Marco, that's what you've got in store. Do you fancy your chances?
Aye, we'll do. How's Gordon?
Good. Oh, we? Who are you with?
My friend.
What's his name?
Mackenzie.
Right, okay.
I thought he said no telling you.
Celtic man as well.
Oh, right, okay. I can see where this is going. Do you know what really irked to me? I don't know why. I saw an old video of you two on a Monday night, and you were round the other way. So did you used to sit in the head seat and he used to sit in the tail seat?
A while back, and I think Andy wanted to move in the middle, and I'm no bothered.
No, that can't be true. I'm no disagreement with that. But I tell you, I always let the elders pick where they want to sit. So if anyone's asked to move, it's you, old man.
Do you know what the actual truth is? I usually say that the slimmest pundit should sit nearest me because there's less space. I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved in that.
He's a professional athlete. That's fair. I'm not going to take that.
You that's know? True. But anyway, right. Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, it will be the elder.
I'll give you the insult that we did see. I mentioned David Friel there, and he put on our group chat last night that he did it in 4 hours 21. And DL chimed back in, were you carrying Hannah?
he wasn't very kind. Anyway, let's see who's playing.
Tails.
It is Tails. It's Roger Hannah.
Good luck, Marco and Mackenzie.
You've not played in ages.
No, I haven't. No.
Right, okay.
Rusty.
Right, let's give Roger Hannah some
Roger.
Greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. Marco and Mackenzie, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Thanks,
let's go. Your 30 seconds starts now. What was the name of St Johnson's ground before they moved to McDermott Park? True or false, Ross County had never beaten Rangers before yesterday? Who was the last player to score a goal for Scotland men's team at Hampden?
Jay Adam.
Who's currently top of the SWPL Premier League?
Celtic.
What's going to be the name of Livingston Stadium from next season? Who's got the most assists in the Scottish Premiership? Which Celtic players got the most assists?
Matt O'Reilly.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Back now, bit of pet shop, boys.
Great, I'm pleased for you. 30 seconds, same set of questions, and your time starts now. What was the name of St Johnston's ground before they moved to McDermott?
Muirton Park.
True or false, Ross County had never beaten Rangers before yesterday?
True.
Who was the last player to score a goal for Scotland men's team at Hampden?
McGinn.
Which team is top of the SWPL Premier League?
Rangers.
What will be the name of Livingston Stadium from July?
The Shure Cab Stadium.
Which Celtic player currently has the most assists in the Scottish Premiership?
O'Reilly.
And who is the only player to score a double in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
That would be Stephen Kelly of Livingston.
Okay, Marco, Mackenzie, have you done enough?
No.
No, fair enough. So straight to the point. Let's find out the damage.
I thought they were tough questions.
They were, yeah, I thought so as well. What were the name of St Johnston's ground before they moved to McDermott Park? Are you young men, Marco and Mackenzie?
Aye, aye.
I see, I did wonder if that was the elder there, the age advantage for.
I never got that.
Would you not? Yeah,
never.
It is Muirton.
You,
but
must, you must have played there, no?
What, what year are we talking, Roger?
Well, did not just have the 25th anniversary that year? Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, maybe so longer, maybe 30 years.
Yeah, I think it is. So up your street, it was Muirton 1. Well, I say 1-0, but Roger starts on minus 1, so it's 0-0. It is true that Ross County had never beaten Rangers until yesterday. So it was, you both get that, so we're fine, we're still level. This is a sneaky one. You know how I feel about all things Scotland, but I don't know if under pressure I could have recalled this.
I thought you'd definitely
the
get
last
it.
Scotland player to score at Hampden for the men's
Armstrong?
Team, Stuart Armstrong, Norway.
Oh, I knew it was a 3-3, I just couldn't think who scored the goal.
We're still level, it has to be said, but the team top of the SWPL by 1 point. They beat Glasgow City yesterday, Celtic won as well. It is Rangers, so Roger Hanna leads by 1. But not vintage, it's the home of the Set Fair Arena.
Is it Set Fair?
What's going on with the stadium names these days?
After the spaghetti I had, they're now having the new cab.
Well, I think that's what Marco and Mackenzie said, something like that.
Yeah.
Home of the Set Fair Arena.
Set Fair.
That's
arena.
Embarrassing.
Yeah,
that's pays
says former Livingston star Andy Halliday.
Just no, you, that's, come on.
Just you wait until Motherwell are playing at the Netflix arena next season.
Yeah,
there you are. You like the sound of that? The Stranger Things Stadium.
Oh, I'd like that. Love
what
Stranger
Netflix
Things.
Programme would you like Fir Park to be named after if this investor gets his
I
way?
I like Stranger Things, I'd take that.
As Gordon DL's watched every programme on the platform, so I wonder what he would feel being a big Motherwell fan. What else could we go for?
We will have to introduce him to Eric before we go much further, because I'm sure a man with Eric's televisual background would find a slot somewhere for Gordon DL.
Married at First Sight's not on Netflix though. Channel 4.
No, that's true.
So is Naked Attraction.
Yeah.
So I can't think of what other show he'd be suited on.
Trying to think.
Married at First Sight.
Below Deck.
That's right up his street, isn't it? Back to the quiz. The Celtic player who's got the most assists in the Premiership's Matt O'Reilly. You both got it. So Roger stays one up, and he's put ahead a cherry on top, if you like. He's rolled in an extra goal at the end. Stephen Kelly was the only player to score a double in the Premiership at the weekend. Marco, Mackenzie, it was a fine effort, but not enough. Hard lines.
Aye, Gordon. Cheers.
Good. Cheers, man.
There we go. And there we are. That was that.
I thought they were tough. I really do.
Was Paisley
two stadium questions straight away is a bad start.
Was Paisley not the home of the? Remember we had like a gang of Beat the Pundit contestants who kept winning and Beat the Pundit.
Yeah,
and they were from Paisley and they sounded really relaxed. Was the word that we used to use to describe them? You don't remember this?
No. Yeah, I don't.
I feel like Marco and I should have asked. I think Marco and Mackenzie might have been part of that.
Part of the Paisley posse.
There's a lot of Jules phoning up just
He
now.
Sounded relaxed, Marco, I thought. Laid back, chilled out. Who knows?
Well, there's no rules against it.
I can't go over the Set Arena.
Set Fair Arena.
You should have had that double-headed coin out and made Andy play that you could have cracked with those
questions.
I think
that could have been the night for you.
Maybe. Time constraint.
Fair, I should have given them an honorary point for the imagination. I think I couldn't really hear them, but I think they did say the Cab New, like as a play on the Set Fair. I'm telling you, I'm going to spend all night thinking about which Netflix show would be the best name for Fir Park if Eric gets his way with the investment.
Get people to tweet in their suggestions.
There's your challenge between now and the end of the show. It's quite niche for Motherwell and Netflix fans, it has to be said, but I'm sure other people could chip in.
I would have thought so. Eric was there on Saturday, watched the game, watched Andy Halliday stride off the bench,
climb out of his sick bed to play. He's just a warrior, isn't he? He really is.
Yeah. And he was there for Shane Blaney's equaliser. Should have won the game. Only shot at the end.
Can we not?
I know it's too early, Roger. But
are you feeling better?
It would all been in vain when you see the result.
It would have been,
I feel slightly better, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, see, I wake up this morning to a late night message from him last night.
What time was that, by the way?
I don't know. Up
during the night for that.
1 o'clock, I think. So I'd stayed up quite late to watch the golf. I'm not feeling well. Can you get someone else to do Monday's show?
Still unwell, from Friday.
During the night last night.
I then text Kenny Miller and said, Andy's not well. Can you come in tonight? He said, yes, no problem. So I text Andy back and say, you're off the hook. To which he replies, I'm actually feeling better. I was wanting to take that message back. I mean, what chance have you got, Roger?
Two things came to my mind, though. Number one, I like Danny with Roger, so I thought I need to be there for my partner. Number
no offence, Gordon DL, if you're listening.
Number two, I knew everyone would say, he's bottled it because Rangers didn't win yesterday. That's why he's not here. I knew they were coming, so I was like, just
give us one brief insight then to your true feelings about the Rangers' performance yesterday. Come on.
I was disappointed.
What a rubbish word.
I've been there. A lot of people were disappointed watching me play for Rangers. Don't worry, so I can't be too harsh at others.
Okay.
You've already, see, you're moving into coaching, you've already got the kind of press conference mood on. Disappointed by that. Yeah.
Getting practice.
At the end of the day, we'll try and be better next week. Yeah.
Right. Okay, keep your calls coming in 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB if you want to get your thoughts in. There are other stories. Like I say, I know what happens here. If one of the big two drop points, it goes foot to the floor, which I do understand. Any Hibs fans want to share your annoyance at not being top six?
A few of them shared their views about Andy Halliday when he stepped off the bench on Saturday, let me tell you, Gordon.
He's not popular.
Yeah, I didn't realise as many Hibs fans listened to the show.
Yeah, you've got an interesting relationship with the Hibs fans.
I do, aye.
You could do that. We could, I know it's been a kind of disappointing season, but for Hibs not to be top six, Aberdeen's so poor that it was like a foregone conclusion almost.
Yeah.
It felt like that they wouldn't make top six. So you've any thoughts there, Celtic fans? What did you like about what you saw at the weekend? Give us a call. No Lewis Ferguson for the Euros. How? First of all, it's obviously disappointing for him, but how disappointing is that news for you? He'll miss the Euros with a knee injury.
He was nailed on to go. Maybe not nailed on to start. Certainly nailed on to go.
Oh, he was going all right.
If you look at the injuries, I know you discussed it in the show on Saturday, Gordon. Aaron Hickey, you know, Thomas Frank at Brentford says unlikely to play again this season. Can you take Aaron Hickey if he's not played a game of football in 8 months? Grant Hanley gave us an update in his fitness, but it wasn't really a super positive update in his fitness. You wonder if there's 26 men go in that squad, are there still openings for some players? I didn't think there were going to be openings for players when it was a 23-man squad. But if you're suddenly looking at 26 and three of the nailed on guys maybe aren't going, you just wonder.
And
could that be the call for Ryan Gold? We've not had many calls about him, really, have we?
Every time there's a Scotland squad, somebody wants Ryan Gold in it. So this could be the one. You never
Captain
know.
Of Vancouver, they were top of their MLS division. The goal in the Derby of Canada last weekend. In form,
you'd go Blair Spittle first, wouldn't you?
Oh, it's got to be. I wish the old Bear was Scottish. Give him the nod. Do you remember the last time Hibs never made top six?
Was that the year they were relegated? Are you going to tell me?
No. It was the year I scored a double against
them. Oh, I do. I was there. Yeah. The Halliday Derby.
Yeah, that'll get them on board, that comment. And we spent last week completely wall-to-wall talking about the pitch. We've had a huge update today. If people want to phone in about that, Roger, what can you tell us for anyone who's not heard the news?
What I can tell you is we're going to dip our toe into the specialist field of agronomy, because the SPFL have appointed one of Europe's leading turf specialists. They are liaising with the SPFL and Dundee over the state of the surface at Dens Park. They will look at it tomorrow morning in the company of the match referee, Don Robertson. A decision will be made, I would imagine, before 12 o'clock as to whether the game can take place there. If it does not take place there, it will move down the road to McDermott Park in Perth, not Muirton. And there will be supporters allowed in. I'm not quite sure how the ticketing arrangements work. Certainly if you have a ticket for the game at Dens, you will be admitted to McDermott Park for the game if that's where it takes place. And I still can't get my head around that in April 2024, we're in this situation and talking on a Monday night about a Dundee Rangers game, unsure where it's going to take place.
Right, what do you make of that game being rescheduled in that manner then? Trevor is next up. Trevor, why not? Let's start the second hour like we started the first. If you were to sum up, one word to sum up Rangers' performance yesterday, what would you go for?
All right, lads. Bogging.
Okay, a nice Scottish word that covers it. What was particularly bogging for you, Trevor?
Where to start? I'm trying to keep it as quickly as possible because I told you I just had 2 points there. But the first point was I want to particularly pick out Tavon Goldson because Suter, I don't think, does a hell of a lot wrong. And left back, we know Bonner's just given up now and, you know, on his way. But out of all the Rangers managers that have been there in the past, they keep sticking with Tavon Goldson, which would maybe tell you there's something to it. But when you keep seeing these performances and they keep picking them, as your one of your callers said earlier on, no manager, especially Big Phil, has got the minerals to actually drop them, especially Tav being the captain. And I just wish they would do that. Big Leon Balogun was playing a blinder, I thought, before he got injured. And he's not getting anywhere near the squad. I just think.
So we're at that stage, Trevor, that you genuinely would drop Tavernier and Goldson, or certainly one of them. Can you really think that will happen, or should happen?
Well, what I want and what I think will happen. Yeah. That's two different things. I don't think that will happen. I don't. Could he afford to drop both of them? Probably not. He should be at least dropping one of them. But we know they won't drop. They won't drop Tav. That nobody ever drops Tav, no matter how bad he is, and it does my head in because yes, his figures are great. I'm no blind. They are phenomenal, but first and foremost, he's a defender. He's got to defend, and his defending has been average on a good day. I also wish some of my fellow fans in the future would, if we go on another run, say between now and the end of the season, whenever, and he gets a barrel full of goals, that we look at it and go, wait a wee minute, actually. Remember what happened to him before they drop off a cliff. I think the summer will tell when one or two of these guys head out and we actually see what's happening. But I mean, why do you think, if I ask the guys, why do we think these guys keep getting played and played? Because is there nobody else? Is it because managers have trust in people that have been there before? You know?
Well, Tavernier gets picked because, to use your phrase, because of his numbers. I think it's now 125 goals for Rangers, more than Alfredo Morelos scored for Rangers. And to put it bluntly, Trevor, if James Tavernier could defend, he wouldn't be at Rangers. He's such an asset going forward. So he gets picked because his contribution going forward, successive Rangers managers will tell you, they believe to be greater than his deficiencies at the back. It's a sort of balancing act, if you like. You know, they think between his goals and his assists, Tavernier will contribute more going forward than he'll let in at the back, if you know what I mean. And there are going to be weekends like the last two weekends where it doesn't quite work out like that. And there's six goals lost in the last two games and it looks really costly for Rangers. Goldson, slightly different. I said at the top of the show, I think he's not been the same player since that bad injury last season. I think he's gone off the boil. Wouldn't surprise me if Philip Clement at some stage went with Suter and Balogun. He's not done it so far.
That wouldn't surprise you.
Not necessarily, because he's shown he doesn't really have loyalty to any players. You know, he'll pick what he thinks are the best players in the team. You look at a lot of the players who were sort of mainstays who have fallen onto the periphery, shall we say. I know Ryan Jacks had injury problems.
None of them are as mainstay as Tavernier and Goldson, though, are
they? No, I don't think he dropped Tavernier. I don't think there's any chance he would drop Tavernier.
Andy, can you see it? Should a change be made? Can you see a change being made? Are certain players undroppable?
I wouldn't say they're undroppable, but I mean, for me, I said Jack Butland, I think, is the least of Rangers' worries. I think next is probably James Tavernier. Conor Goldson, I think, has been a very good servant for Rangers over a number of years. I don't think he's had his best this season. That being said, I don't know if Leon Balogun, for me, has done enough to replace him. I think Leon Balogun's had decent games. I think he's done well in spells, but I think Conor Goldson will continue to play. James Tavernier, for me, listen, he's always going to have his critics, but I mean, is his defending that bad that you can replace the 25 goal contributions that he's had in the league this year?
Is there an argument? I remember an argument just before Nathan Patterson was sold to Everton that Tavernier could move up one. Patterson could play right back and Tavernier could play ahead of him. Is that a legitimate argument with Dujon Sterling at right back and Tavernier one on?
It's difficult because I think what James Tavernier's strengths is arriving from deep, energy to get up and down the line, crosses in the box. Whereas I think if he's playing outright, I think there's a lot more emphasis to take the ball in tighter areas, to take people on. But the fact of the matter is, Roger, you don't know until you see it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it to comment on it. And you know what I think of Dujon Sterling. For me, he's in the team every week, and obviously that's not been the case. So I think it's a difficult one. I think if you're going to sample it in any game, it's maybe a Celtic or a Champions League or games like that.
I know who you've annoyed out there, because he's on straight away. That is Kenny Miller's most hated suggestion in the entire world.
To move Tav on one?
Yes, because it comes up all the time. Every time he has a bad game or a bad run, people always just say, just move him up one. Then that means he doesn't need to defend. And oh, he's not happy with you. He's not happy with you at all.
No, I'm not suggesting it. I'm just saying, is there an argument for it?
And he's saying no.
He's, well,
anyway. All right, thanks to Trevor.
Thanks for listening,
Kenny.
We'll
take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. I have to say, what a response to the throwaway line about if Motherwell get Netflix man's investment.
Yeah.
What should the stadium be called? Stephen Roy, and there were a few people who went on this sort of line of thinking, that How I Met Your Motherwell Stadium.
Uh-huh.
I tell you that. Are you happy with that?
Not bad.
What else have we got on here? There was a few. There were some I really liked. Even though this is, it kind of pains me to say this one. John Duffy says, what about How to Get Away with Murder? After years of watching them, they are murder, says John. Come on, John. Thought we were getting on as pals there. What else? There was a few, I have to say, that was quite impressed with. So there we go. Plenty to work with.
Not bad.
A few allegations about Gordon DL's private life and stuff that I wouldn't dream about getting into on a family show. But right, keep
that
your calls
Stranger Things
coming. It might be it might be time to move on and discuss something other than that win for Ross County yesterday. But it is up to you. Let me give this question quickly.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Oh, just as I turn the paper over, you think I would check? I've got a fear.
We've done that.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago.
Question before, a nightmare. You think we would check? Really, wouldn't you? It was the 10 Northern Irish players to play in a Scottish Cup final. I think we've done it.
We have.
So you personally did it as well.
Well, I told you what we do at Motherwell is, we'll listen to somebody will listen to the show before and then do that teaser.
Was that
this was only like a week or two ago?
Was that not the last 10 Northern Irish players to have won the league?
No, because do you know who I specifically remember? The last one was Paul Payton, and I'm sure you got it.
No, he's not on this list either.
No, I don't think. I think
we've done that.
I think the one we did was the last 10 Northern Irish players to win the league, because did I know it say Niall McGinn and he hadn't actually won it?
I'm telling you, we've done that 100%.
It's got an air of shambles about it, which is
appropriate.
Yeah, it's kind of like us, isn't it? I have to say. I'll tell you what, why don't we can it? Will we just can it tonight?
No.
It's so busy though. It's so can busy. I'll try and find another one for you, but it's busy.
I could tell you the tender now.
Go.
No, you're right though, because what is confusing me is Paul Payton was on the list
he
that was. Night, but he's not on this list.
I know, but he was
in front of me. Oh my goodness.
Michael Smith, Liam Boyce, Stephen Davis.
Anyway, let's just bring in Andy and Royston and
me,
see what.
It's me and you. Me and you done that.
Are you sure?
Definitely.
Let's see what Andy and Royston's got for us. Andy, take it away.
Gordon, your organisation's terrible. Oh,
tell me about it. Tell me about
almost, it. Almost, I take me to a point, almost as bad, in my opinion, as SPFL. I'll put something to use that. I'm scratching my head with it, right? See when Dundee have guaranteed sixth place on Saturday, Dundee will be scheduled to go to Ibrox after the split. Why did they not just play the game at Ibrox on Wednesday night and split then go to Dens Park after the split once the weather's fixed? Because you've got all the conspiracy theorists in the world who'll be shouting there's no actually an away game for Rangers because it's a neutral venue Why do the SPL never do anything up front? They always react to everything and take some... I don't know. It just seemed like a very, very basic solution for me.
Yeah, Roger, is that an option? Because, I mean, we don't quite know about the top six fixtures, which leads us on to another point.
Ordinarily, Andy, I would have said that was quite a sensible option. However, I discovered a thing today. I was expecting the SPFL, the post-split fixtures, to come out today because they tend to come out the Monday after match weekend 33, if you like. And it was announced that they were going to wait and put the fixtures out after Dundee had played Rangers. I couldn't understand why that was. And it's to do with how they calculate the fixtures after the split and who goes where. There is still a chance if Dundee beat Rangers 5-0, steady Andy, calm down, that Dundee could go above St Mirren after week 33, if that makes sense. And that could have an impact on who goes where after the split. So they want the game played as Dundee's
home game. Why is that? Explain
game.
To people who think why. Why does that make a difference? I know the answer, but...
I'll try and condense this down. I'll use Celtic as an example. Celtic have three home games. Celtic have only played 16 home games and 17 away. So to keep the balance at 19-0, Celtic will need to play three at home and two away after the split. So one at home will obviously be Rangers. But the way the split has finished this season, Kilmarnock, St Mirren and Dundee are all in the top six. Celtic would be due to go to all three of those grounds because they've played Kilmarnock at home twice, they've played Dundee at home twice, played St Mirren at home twice. That obviously can't happen. So Celtic will need to get an extra home game against one of those three teams, if you like. And it seems to...
It's usually the team that's sixth.
Yeah, so
to try and minimise the sort of impact of the
100%.
The reshuffle, if you like.
100%. So if, as things stand just now, if Dundee don't beat Rangers 5-0, then the likelihood is Celtic will get another home game against Dundee. Some people will say that allows them to dodge that dodgy pitch at Dens Park. Anyway, if Dundee beat Rangers 5-0 on that dodgy Dens Park pitch or at McDermott Park, they would be fifth and Celtic would be more likely to have another home game at home to St Mirren as they did on Saturday.
Having said that, I get all this, Andy. Look, it's not technically an away game, but I mean, it's not a home game either. And it's not like McDermott Park's a bowling green, is it?
No.
Andy, sorry, Andy and Royce.
Confused. Roger, I appreciate that explanation, right? But I'll put this back to you. See if that's the case and there's a scientific rationale for where the fixtures and when the fixtures are going to be. Why not share that with fans then? A basic principle of if Dundee finish sixth, here's what the fixtures will be. If Dundee finish fifth, here's the alternative fixture. Because what you're going to get is you're going to get people, if Rangers, for example, or Dundee have got a man who's on nine bookings and they play the game and they're suspended for the first game before the first fixture's announced, then you guys know more than anybody. The conspiracy theories go mad. What I'm saying here is, again, it just reinforces my point. Roger, why not have transparency and say, here's what the fixtures will be, and here's the... By the way, what you've just described there, Roger, makes complete sense. So why not say to the fans, here's the formula we use, and here's what the fixtures are going to be?
I get that, but at the same time, Roger, I don't think leagues anywhere would necessarily give options of, you know, this is fixture list A, this is fixture list B.
Yeah.
I know it's a bit confusing, and Andy can reference conspiracy theorists or whatever, but this does happen every year. Every year the split, it is imperfect by its very definition.
Yeah, the only way it can be perfect is if the same top six finish the top six consecutive seasons. I don't think that's ever happened.
It's not going to happen. And I mean, I still get it, but once you start digging down to trying to worry about who might or might not be suspended for what post-split fixture, if they pick up a booking, which, by the way, when you pick up a... Am I right in saying once you reach your book, you'll know more than me, maybe... Once you pick up your booking threshold, the ban doesn't even kick in straight away, does it? That's the one that you... Does it miss a week?
Is that a 14-day thing? It used to be.
I mean, seriously, the irony of this, right? Think about this from a... Take a step back. We're accusing the SFA or SPFL, more accurately, of being so disorganised at arranging these fixtures, yet we're supposed to believe they're organised enough to manipulate it in such a way that people are going to avoid suspension.
Let me tell you.
We can barely get games on.
Let me tell you. The fixtures will be in Callum Beattie's top drawer. If Dundee finish fifth, and there'll be an alternative set of fixtures in his top draw if Dundee finish sixth. There's no doubt about that. Once the game's played, whenever it's played on Wednesday night, The fixtures will be announced first thing on Thursday morning. And I just hope the floodlights don't go out at 9:30 at McDermott Park. Can you imagine that? When is this game going to get played?
Here is the very unpopular other angle, which I get, you know, it's easier to be sort of angry and raging about everything. Given how disorganised it's been up until this point, and they shouldn't escape criticism for that, the fact that we now know that the pitch will be checked tomorrow, and if it doesn't pass, it will be at McDermott Park, and fans will still be allowed in, so it doesn't need behind closed doors. It might be too little too late, but is that not actually at least quite a good outcome? Well, put it this way.
I mean,
the alternative
is
what happened last week.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. The good outcome is the game's getting played. That's the main thing. But it shouldn't have got to this. It's as simple as
sure,
that.
Sure, and I acknowledge that.
And what I can say is I'm absolutely delighted that it's not going to result in a game behind closed doors when there's a title running with five games to go. I thought that was just ludicrous to even suggest that. So, listen, will it pass a pitch inspection tomorrow? I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised now if the game is at McDermott Park on Wednesday. For me, I think it would be very difficult to reschedule at Ibrox just because that sort of sporting advantage where you're not only punishing Dundee, I feel as if Celtic are almost getting punished where Rangers are getting that sort of extra home fixture. So listen, as long as the game gets put on Wednesday and there's fans in the stadium, that's all that matters.
I believe Dundee's hearing for the previous postponement is later this week. I'll be fascinated to see what the SPFL do with Dundee. I'm not too bothered about the SPFL fining Dundee money. I want the SPFL to get category cast iron assurances from Dundee that that pitch is going to be fit for purpose next season, and that if there is any slip up next season and a repeat of this pantomime, then there will be punishments.
David Healy pointing out that St Mirren are also due three home games after the split, though, so this is why it's not as easy to...
No, it's not. And listen, we always, to use your phrase, Gordon, we always look at these things through the Old Firm prism, if you like.
Yeah.
But St Mirren will want a fair set of fixtures. Kilmarnock will want a fair set of fixtures. Dundee, Hearts.
It just feels like, and maybe there's a, I don't know if this is like a cultural thing though, how long has the split been in? Remind me.
Oh, many, many years.
Right.
Good thing, I like it.
And this is that's what I'm saying. This doesn't you don't have to think it's a good thing, but we do have to do this every single season. Somebody misses out somewhere. Somebody feels hard done by every single year, Roger. So I'm not saying that makes it right, but I do feel like with every year that passes, we get more obsessed with how underhand it all is. You know, it feels like everything's just intensified now more than it was.
Yeah. And particularly in a season where there's a bona fide title race, these things become more important to people. I can understand it. Why don't you like the split?
A few reasons, to be honest with you. But fundamentally, I just think playing a team four times in a season is too much. I would like more teams in the league. I know we're getting way off track here, but...
That's a different issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in terms of the teams that we've... Could we put it this way? If Ollie Shaw knocks that chance in at the weekend and you hear that Aberdeen have scored, the split becomes an unbelievable thing.
Yeah, surely. Then if there's no split, then we still get a chance of finishing top five or top six.
Say it again, sorry?
So the fact that he never scored the chance... We've still got a chance to finish in the top six or top five towards the end of the season if we don't have a split with five games to go.
Yeah, but a lot of those middle games could be meaningless then, couldn't they? For the teams at seventh and eighth and so on.
I mean, they still could, to be honest with you, even after the split. You could still have meaningless games if you're sixth, seventh, eighth.
Yeah, if you're eighth, but any...
No, I'm saying you could. Now it's not the way it's panned out, but you still could.
More often than not, most of the teams are then close to relegation that they need to worry about it.
Yeah.
And they play each other.
I think there's been years where last year was excellent. Last year the split worked. You remember how many teams looked as if they could get that sort of playoff spot and bottom of the league. Dundee United went to the last game of the season and the playoff position as well. But for the most part, I'm not a fan.
Okay, let's thank Andy and Royston. I mean, it looks like you're not getting a teaser. I don't know. Just listen. We just fly by the seat. The seat of our pants on this show at times. Let's take a breather and we'll bring in Rob, who's on the line next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots still to get through. Rob is in Knightswood. Rob, how do you feel about yesterday's result performance?
Dog meat, mate. Absolute dog meat.
It's another strong description, Roger. Did you put that in your match report, Roger Hannah?
Was that not a great post-match quote from Ian McCall after a party? Because this little game 2 or 3 years ago.
Doug Meat. What was Doug Meat about it, Rob?
Well, do you know what I mean? It was 1-0 at half-time, and my boy at the time was saying, oh, well, at least we're winning, blah, blah, blah. But you seen it coming, mate. Do you know what I mean? It was so obvious. We were defending, like, kind of, we weren't proactive defending. We were kind of reactive. We were waiting for balls to bounce, and then, well, nobody was going to meet it. There was gaps between the defence and the midfield. They were getting runners down the side. They were creating chances. It was a disaster waiting to happen. And you've got likes of, I love the guys to death, Tav, Golson, been great servants for the club, but I think it's the end of an era. Also, John Lundstrom, I think it's the end of an era for him as well.
Have you always felt this, Rob? Because a couple of weeks ago we were getting, oh, we must give John Lundstrom a new contract calls.
Who? Me?
No, not you personally, no, just generally.
No. Listen, I think the guy kind of got a wee boost when the new gaffer came in. I think he got the bounce off Clement, but before that, he was another one who could be felled under Doug Meat, to be honest with you. But I think the one who's escaped all the criticism, to be honest with you, is John Souter. Where I sit at Ibrox, I sit right in line with the 18-yard box, and I see, like, Aberdeen, Hibs, Hearts, Celtic game. The guy's giving away goals left, right and centre. You know what I mean? For a centre-back as well, when the ball's in the air, doesn't move his feet. He gets caught all the time in the channel. He gets caught watching the ball go recede, and he's another one who doesn't react quick enough for a centre-back. Was on the ground. Aye, he's good. He can tackle, he can run with everyone else, but for a centre-back, you should be able to kind of move your feet and we can get in a better position than what this guy does. Honestly, I'm absolutely... I've had better weekends, let's just say that.
Well, you know yourself, Rob, after a Doug Meat performance, you won't win a lot.
Oh, stop it, honestly.
Talking, you know, there is a lot of focus here in Tavernier and Goldson tonight. I think there will be a clear out at Rangers this summer. I actually don't think Tavernier and Goldson will be involved in it. You know, I'm just noting down names there, Rob. You know, you can see both backup goalies leaving, McCrory and McLaughlin. Balogun probably at his age, Ben Davis probably, Barisic, perhaps Yilmaz as well, Ryan Jack at the end of his deal, John Lundstrom at the end of his deal, Nicholas Raskin has completely fallen out of the picture. You wonder about Scott Wright, left out of the squad at the weekend. Cortez is only there on loan. Kamar Roof's at the end of his contract.
Scott Wright started an Old Firm game a week ago.
Started a Europa League Cup, Europa League final. Does Lammers come back in? Can, you know, what happens with Sima's deal, that loan deal? What happens with Silva's loan deal? It doesn't sound as if he'll be hanging around. So I think there will be massive change at Rangers this summer. And that's whether Rangers win a league or don't win a league. I think there'll be massive change. I just can't see Tavernier and Goldson being involved in that change.
No, I agree. It was funny you just mentioned Cortez there. I completely forgot he was even here. It feels as if he's obviously been out of sight, out of mind after starting so well. But yeah, again, call me. Maybe people are saying it's biased because they were ex-teammates of mine, but I do feel as if, you know, James Tavernier and Conor Goldson are the least of Rangers' worries. I do feel as if Conor Goldson's not in his best form at the moment. I still think James Tavernier still had a good season. I think there's been poor performances within it, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I do think you have to question where would Rangers be without his 25 goal contributions. Would they be 4 points if they win a game in hand, 1 point behind Celtic? I don't think so. I think he still offers far, far too much going forward for Rangers to be replacing him in the team.
Can you recover from a Doug Meat performance, in your words, Rob, to win the league from here?
Yes, in a word, yes. Because who would have said that Rangers would have had this kind of shift in the past couple of weeks as well? So it seems to be the last, five games we're in it. There's a lot of pressure on the teams. And obviously Celtic have won the championship. They've done it a few times. I've got a few boys there who have done that, but there's a lot of pressure on Celtic. I think the pressure's all on Celtic now. But honestly, they need to go out and now kind of win the last remaining games. Brendan Rodgers has tried to kind of shift that to Rangers a wee bit over the past few weeks because Rangers were ahead, and now it's Celtic that are ahead. So is he then going to shift the kind of pressure back to them? Do you know what I mean? So there's lots of questions still to be answered in these five. I think both teams will still lose at least one game out of the last five easy. There'll still be a few twists and turns, I think.
Especially when we see these post-split fixtures that we're speculating about. Let's thank Rob, who's not had a good weekend. He says, I wonder if Gio has had a similarly bad weekend. Gio, as a Hibs fan, sum up how it feels to miss out in top six for a club of your size.
Well, obviously it's embarrassing, but I think Montgomery's been given quite a hard job to come into, but Wee Johnston left for me, it was shocking, like, yeah.
So you've got a bit of sympathy for him. You don't think this is on Nick Montgomery?
Nah, I think there's a lot more people to blame than him. Like,
would you like to see Hibs stick by him then?
Like, David Grace, you know, three managers. Like, when's he going to start to get a bit of blame, eh?
Wow, Sir David Grey's getting the blame now.
It's a big stake, that, but I think sometimes you do need to accept that he's no perfect, is he?
Roger, it's happened again. You know, Hibs and Aberdeen, the size of those clubs to miss out on the top six. And the credit goes to Kilmarnock and St Mirren, who buck the budget trend, if you like, but... It's really not a good situation, is it?
Well, no, it's not. I was at Fir Park for the game, as you know, on Saturday, and I was talking to some of the Edinburgh-based reporters who follow Hibs week in, week out, and I was actually surprised that, you know, the way they were telling me the pressure that Nick Montgomery's under, because the Hibs board now have a decision to make. Do they back Nick Montgomery, given he's only had one transfer window? Remember, he arrived at Hibs to replace Lee Johnson after the summer window was closed. Do they back him to overhaul this squad this summer, or have they not been sufficiently impressed by him since he came over from Australia, and do they want to get somebody else in? Because if they want to get somebody else in, they need to get him in now so that he can look at what's there just now and he can build through the summer and make his own signings. Personally, I don't think Hibs can keep emptying managers every 6 or 9 months. I just don't. Nick Montgomery fell, what did he say, 20 seconds short of a shot at the top six. I didn't think some of the arrivals in January were that bad. You look at the likes of Mizuwe and Marlida, who scored the goal at Fir Park. I think he's been quite impressive. Emiliano Marcondes, who's come in from Bournemouth, where they now have this link-up, he's been quite impressive. So maybe the board will just bite the bullet and stick with Nick Montgomery in the belief that with another window, Hibs can be a better force next season.
I think Hibs under Nick Montgomery are a better team than Hibs under Lee Johnson. I do think they've improved. I think in terms of their squad, I think they've got a lot of quality, but for me it's probably a wee bit top heavy. I think a lot of their better players are at the top end of the pitch. That's why we talk about recruitment in terms of every club, but going into that January transfer window, Rodgers just mentioned two impressive players they brought in. It was two more attackers, whereas he feels as if that back four was the real area that you're expecting Hibs to strengthen in. But the fact of the matter is, Hibs, for the size of club, the size of budget they've got to finish top six, is obviously not good enough. Not only that, they're 23 points behind Hearts. So that's a significant gap between, obviously, their rivals and who they're trying to compete with, not just for top six, by the way, but for third and fourth place.
Gio, will he get that time? Do your fellow Hibs fans have as much patience as you, or do some of them want to see change?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think everybody wants him going, but I would say it's about 70-30%.
Yeah.
70% wanting him going, but well, I'm quite happy to give him the start of next season, because he's not had a pre-season either. It's also a big thing.
Yeah, that can happen, Roger. What it does mean then is that the pressure goes right on at the start of the next campaign, doesn't it? It's almost like it'll get to...
Oh, it's what happened with Lee Johnson.
September weekend.
The start of the season, he lasted four games and then he was sacked.
Yeah. You were talking about the defensive changes that Hibs, you know, I think Will Fish is just on loan, isn't he? Jordan Opita's just got a new deal. Chris Cadden's back in the team. I was going to ask you, Rocky Bashiri's dive at the weekend, Andy?
No, it was poor, wasn't it? It was poor. And future Hearts player, Blair Spittle.
Is he just trying to get in with the Hearts fans?
I think so. I think that's what that
was. Yeah, it was a bit of a catch-weight contest.
Maybe add that to the fine system then.
I think so. Thanks very much to Gio and Livingston on the line. That will probably bring things to a close. It's going to be an interesting week ahead. Roger Hanna, we dealt very much with the past tonight. But tomorrow, first of all, will the pitch pass its inspection? Therefore, we determine whether the game takes place at Dens or whether it's at McDermott Park. And then, what do Rangers do in that game? What's the fallout like?
In a sense, it's sort of irrelevant to Rangers whether the pitch passes the inspection or not, because whether they play at Dens, whether they play at McDermott, or whether they play in the Broxbourne roundabout, Rangers simply have to win the game. There is no more wriggle room for Rangers in this title fight. 4 points from 12 is showing that they need to show up wherever it is, and they need to win the game, and they might need to do it with a little bit of panache as well to bring back the belief that they are still in this title race.
Because Andy, to state the obvious, I'm not pretending this is a roasting hot take, but if we're saying tonight that, look, it's 1 point if they win the game, so of course it's still on. If Rangers were to not win this game, you know, that you wouldn't find many people who still thought they had a chance. How much pressure then becomes onto this fixture?
Huge. And Dundee have showed they're a good team. That's why they've made top six. They've got a lot of dangerous players. I wouldn't go too far as saying it's league over if they don't win the game, but 90%.
There we are. Thank you very much. It was a very lively show, and we appreciate you getting in touch, whether that's the phones or Twitter. And to the many of you who listen at home, thank you very, very much indeed. We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Gordon DL and Kenny Miller will be here, so make sure you join us then. Don't forget, you can listen back on the podcasts wherever you get your podcast. You can, of course, watch us now if you're that way inclined. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel to see Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday in all their glory. And this is right up Gordon DL Street. I hope he's listening. He's a big Blue fan. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He is,
yeah,
indeed.
Well, likes a bit of Blue.
Lynn is up next, and she's going to be joined by Anthony from Blue after 8 p.m. Have a good night.